Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Jesus according to Matthew, and it starts on Matthew 18, verses 6 through 9. Can be found in the Pew Bible New Testament on page 18 through 19, large print, page 19. This is one of those fun scriptures. Listen carefully. If any of you put a stumbling block before the one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come. But woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. Throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the hell of fire. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Michael, I got down here without my wireless microphone. How did I do that?
It is time for the gospel. The gospel, the word of God in the midst of the people of God. And as our tradition here, if you would like to stand and join us, I invite you to do so. This is John 4, beginning with verse 5. It's self-comfortable. This is not a short passage. Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then the disciples came. They were astonished that Jesus was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvest. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." Here ends the reading of the Scripture, the word of the Lord. I invite you to be seated.
Michael, I got down here without my wireless microphone. How did I do that?
What did you think of that Scripture? It was long. But you had to have all of that because that pericope is a huge piece of explaining, talking about God in the midst of the people and all that's happening and how we are and where we are. Now, you need to know a little bit of geography. The Palestinian area is on the bottom is Judea, in the middle is Samaria, and on the top is Galilee. And so Jesus is down in that bottom area in Judea, and he has to go to Galilee, and the most direct route is indeed through Samaria. But you have to understand something. We have a problem here because Samaritans are people that we don't accept, people that we don't like, people that are outcasts, people that the Bible has told us not to like, people that are our enemies. And the Jews are aware of that, and pious, faithful Jews knew that you should not have anything, you shouldn't even walk in their territory. So they would cross the River Jordan and travel through another country till they were past Samaria, and then travel back across the Jordan back into Galilee. It was an inconvenience, a relatively minor one, but it was a way for the good, faithful, pious, good followers to keep from having to be around those evil, nasty, not to be touched, spoken to, or even thought about those Samaritans. You heard the woman say that, didn't you? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. It's important that that point's made. It's important that we hear that, and it's important that we are aware of just how unclean they are. If you want to hear all of the ways that they got crosswise, 2 Kings 17, but you can do that later. No cheating during the sermon. That was a joke. So Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, and the Scripture says, but he had to go through Samaria. Well, he didn't. He could have followed the route of a good, pious Jew. He could have avoided all that. But you see, he did have to. We've heard the rest of the Scripture. We've heard this pericope. We understand what happened. And he had to go through Samaria because how else would he have met the woman at the well? How else could he have made this connection? They come to Sychar. The disciples go into town and to buy food. This is good. Send them in. You go grocery shopping. So they go to grocery shopping. But did you hear what it said about Jesus? He sits down at the well because he's tired. Now, all of the visions you have of Jesus, all of the thoughts, all the paintings we've ever seen, do you ever see him tired? Do you ever think of him as tired? I don't want to bother you now, Lord. I know you're tired. It just kind of startles us, doesn't it? How about crying? Do you think Jesus ever cried? When Lazarus, his friend, died, Jesus wept. Sometimes he gets overwhelmed with crowds and people. He must have been an introvert like me. And so he wants to withdraw with the disciples to pray and to refuel and to rebuild themselves. Do we imagine all of those human characteristics for our Lord and Savior Jesus?
we need to remember always that he was completely human, as we are human. Completely, totally human, experiencing as we do. Now, I don't know about you, but I have made a few mistakes. And this is not confession time, so just sit back there. But Jesus managed the perfect path and didn't make mistakes. He walked the perfect path to show us as humans what we should be aspiring to. We are moving on to perfection. Let's say it together. We are moving on to perfection. I didn't hear that much. We are moving on to perfection. Better, better, better. If the bishop asks, how are you? Tell her, we are moving on to perfection. If you're sitting there at your house and you're wondering, what should I be doing today? You'll say to yourself, I am moving on to perfection. Boy, have I got a lot of movement to do in my journey. Anybody else? A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Okay, we have a problem. This is another big problem. In that day and age, single women didn't go out by themselves, except that kind of women. Do I need to go any further with explaining that? I think we all know where I'm going. And single men didn't speak to those women. Good, pious, faithful men didn't talk to single women. You know, part of it has to do with the sexism and the struggle over our human sexuality. In the early Jewish church, the men worshipped and the women were not allowed in the same areas. Today, I'm told that in the Nazarene church that they still worship men on one side, women on the other side. I don't know that to be true. Do you want to try it this morning? Do you want to? No. I would be crucified for trying to rearrange our seating, wouldn't I? Don't have to. Don't need to. But think about the reality of the differences and the struggles that humanity has had with its own sexuality. So here, and she responds to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? It is astonishing. And if you were one of the group that heard this, the first time you heard this gospel lesson, in the time when John had written it and put it, you would have been standing there with your jaw hanging open. You would have been astonished. You would have cried out in just disbelief over what's happening here. Did Jesus make a mistake here? We just clarified that, didn't we? He had to go through Samaria. He had to meet the woman at the well. So they had this discussion. It's not unlike that discussion we talked about with Jesus and Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus and Jesus says you have to be return and be born from above. And he says, how am I going to get back in my mom's womb? This isn't going to work very well. So they're on two different planes. Jesus is talking about spirituality and about all of these other things. And here's poor Nicodemus being very literal. She is in the same boat. She's talking literally about the water. How many of you have ever had to haul water for your daily subsistence? That's fun, a few of you. Want to go on a mission trip with me to a country where they do that every day? Where that's the portion that falls to the children and the women, is to haul water every day just for survival. Next time you turn on the faucet, say, thank you, God. And thank the water workers, but not as much as God. And Jesus says, I will give them water and will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And that's pretty exciting. She likes that and she says, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I or have to keep coming here to draw water. She's excited about it. Can you just see the excitement? And this is great. I'm liking this guy a lot. And then comes the bombshell. I'd like to see this done on film with a really good acting team. She's so excited, so joyous, so filled with life and vitality. This is great news. And he says, go get your husband. You see, her countenance has got to just completely fall because she has a terrible secret. There is something about her that he doesn't know. And she responds with a lie of omission. I have no husband. Well, we know that's not the whole story. We know there's more to it. And Jesus goes on, you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you've said is true. He minces no words. And he names the ways that in her community she's unclean, And to the Jews she is forbidden. And by biblical rule she should be stoned to death. This is bad news. She is really in dire straits. If you think about all of the things that she is in the midst of and guilty of, and that the law and the books of the law have condemned her. 5 husbands. And the man she's living with is not her husband. This woman is defined by the Bible as sinful. Good, devout, pious Bible followers would have to condemn her, certainly. And Jesus does not. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't confront her on it. He doesn't say, go and sin no more. He has come there for her and to her. Can you imagine the first audience to have heard this? Can you imagine how startling and unsettling this is to say, no, you can't maintain your prejudices. You cannot maintain your condemnation of someone else. I have uncondemned her. Now, we are, anybody here, how many other languages do we speak? How many, if you speak more than one language, hold your arm up. Good, several others, okay. I'm working on English. And one of the oddities about English is that some of the translations from Greek don't work real well. And there are some clutches there. I served a church in Wyoming, and we had a phrase that's called, you all. That's the plural of you. So I could say, you, Melba, or I could say, you all. Well, we don't have that easily in our lexicon. I don't see you all printed in there very often. Is it in the dictionary? In the Bible, I say. I don't know. We'll have to check. But you understand there's a singular you and there's a plural you. And in the Greek, this is the word he uses, is the plural you. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when all of you will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So he's speaking to her, the woman at the well. He's speaking to the woman and the man she's living with. He's speaking to the other Samaritans. All of you are uncondemned. All of you are made clean by me. The disciples come back and they are amazed. Here he is speaking to this woman. And that amazement, you just have to understand. Having been around Jesus, they are still stunned to see how he has broken across a barrier and opened us to be able to love and to connect. So the woman leaves her jar at the well and runs into town. She's coming back. You bet she's coming back. And she tells them, you've got to come see this man. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you. And some of them are amazed and they begin to believe. And they come and they meet the Savior. They come and meet Jesus and they are converted. And they say, we don't believe anymore from what you said. We believe because we have met him. This is awesome. So not only has Jesus reached across these barriers and reached out to this unclean people and said, we will love one another. You know, that's what we're called to do, I think. That's the edict before us, is love God, love one another. I saw a t-shirt yesterday. It was heart God, heart others. I thought, this is great. I'm going to have to get one. So we can do that sometimes. You can even love your neighbor and be kind to them and then go home and they go home. The disciples stay with them for 2 days. This isn't just one of those, let's do this to be polite, let's do this and kind of hold our opinions to ourselves. This is, we are family now. This is moving beyond any ability to separate ourselves one from another. How in the world can you do that? I mean, think about the Jews that would be able to quote all the reasons for why these people have to be condemned. You can find the laws, you can pull up Bible verse and passage and you can say what the laws require and how this woman, who could possibly speak against that? What authority The woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I am he. The Greek is, I ego I me. I am he. I. Okay. He has that authority. He has that ability. We can acknowledge that. An incredible passage. A passage that would have been shocking, unsettling, and yet life-giving to the people that heard it. And a passage that is still speaking to us today. Who do we condemn? Who do we hold at arm's length? Who do we envision as unclean? Jesus has cleansed them. And thank God that Jesus also cleanses us. Amen.